This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Where No Story Has Gone Before, a Tony Mandolin short story by Robert Lee Beers. Chapter 1.
I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
I turned to Frankie.
Big guy, I don't think we're in our own world anymore.
We were standing on the side of a mountain, and it had to be pretty high, since there was still patches of snow in places with semi-permanent shade. I was probably exaggerating where us not being in our own world was concerned, because the trees and the sky sure seemed Earth-like. No. What was concerning me was that I had a 360 view, and none of it included ocean. And then, there was the old man with the walking stick, dressed like he stepped out of that fantasy series about thrones and dragons. And he was looking at the big guy and me as if we'd done something we shouldn't have.
"Who are you?"
he barked, strutting towards us as he slapped the end of that stick into the ground with each step.
"What is this place?"
I answered him with a shrug.
"Man," I said, "hell if I know."
He stopped and tilted his head back and forth, as if examining us.
"You're strangely dressed. What sort of greatcoat is that? And what an odd-looking hat."
He reached out as if to touch my fedora.
"This and some,"
Frankie said, holding open the flap of his coat as if he was on the runway of a fashion show.
"Is called Noir Chic. It is a way of honoring the legacy of the Great One, Sam Spade himself."
The old man looked at Frankie as if one of the exhibits in a museum had suddenly come to life.
"What nonsense are you spouting? And why are you so huge? Did your parents not know when to stop feeding you?"
Frankie looked at me and pleaded,
"Tony."
I was getting a bit peeved with the guy's rudeness, especially since it felt like we were being treated unfairly. I said,
"Back off, old man. I don't know who the hell you are, but where I come from, you don't blame the victim. As for our clothes, I could ask you the same thing. Is there a Ren Fair around here somewhere?"
The old man shook his head.
"My apologies. I had no idea you had been magicked as well. May I ask, what is a Ren Fair?"
Frankie said again,
"Tony, what in the world is going on?"
The big guy had me there. One instant, we were stepping onto my front porch after finishing up that insane business with a crazy fashion student. And the next, wham, we're standing somewhere in the mountains. As far as I could tell, we were smack dab in the middle of Godforsakenstan without a passport.
"I don't know, Frankie," I said, rubbing the back of my head. "Man, this is one time I sure wish Bane was around, drunk or not." "Who is this Bane you refer to?"
the old man asked. He seemed to be more at ease now with us being in the same boat, as it were.
Colleague, I said, thinking. "No, I really couldn't call the alcoholic wizard a friend. Friends don't have you hovering somewhere between 'thank God you're here' and 'oh God, he's here' more often than not."
"Ah," the old man replied, nodding. "A wise man, is he?"
"Well, yes and no," Frankie said. "Mostly it's because he's a wizard."
The old man's head snapped up to stare at Frankie.
"Wizard? Where is he? Can you summon him?"
"Whoa, slow down there, Pops," I said, holding out a hand. "It's easier to answer questions if they come at you one at a time. First, how about answering one for me, okay?"
The old man nodded.
"Agreed. What is the question?"
It was then I noticed his accent. It was British, and yet not. There was bits and pieces of just about everything in there. He used the soft "ah" rather than the hard "a" as used in the U.S., but there were differences, as if a Scot had married a Russian, lived in London for a time, and then moved to Idaho.
The man wasn't from around here. Or was it me?
How about an easy one? What's your name? I'm Tony Mandolin. The big guy there is Frankie,
I said, using my hand to indicate who's who.
If you knew anything about wizards, Tony Mandolin, the old man murmured, you'd not be so hasty in the namings. But never mind that. I am known as Millward, and even though this bane is not about, you do have a wizard present.
He thumped his chest with his free hand.
Me?
Frankie stared at the old man and then chuckled.
You look just like Obi-Wan for a second there.
Obi who?
Millward asked, looking confused. Frankie looked at me and said,
That confirms it. Tony, we're not home anymore.
I said to Millward,
You asked us where this place was, so I'll assume you're a stranger like us. You say you're a wizard. Can you use your powers to find out where we are, or see if there's anything like a town close by?
He grunted, nodding.
A scry might do it.
Whatever that was, I didn't care, as long as it did the job. Frankie stepped forward.
Don't you need a mirror or a still pool for that?
Ah,
Millward said, smiling slightly.
Are you an apprentice or an adept?
Nah,
Frankie shook his head.
I just read a lot.
A man of letters, then,
Millward replied.
Nothing to be ashamed of. I wish more of the peasantry bothered to learn that art.
Frankie swelled slightly.
Peasantry? Not now, big guy, I said.
Is he right? I asked Millward. Do you need something like a mirror for this scry?
I got another nod for an answer.
Yes, a mirror is best, but I was magicked away. I did not have my pack with me. I think if we gather some of that snow and collect it into a shallow depression in the sun, that should work.
Or we can use mine,
Frankie said, holding up a hand mirror by the handle. Millward took the offered mirror as he asked,
Are you sure you're not an adept?
No, Frankie replied. But I did sleep in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
As Millward looked even more confused, the big guy barked out a huge laugh and exclaimed,
I've always wanted to use that line. Yeah, I muttered. And it fits our situation so well.
Millward looked at the mirror, turning it in his hand.
Curious substance, he muttered. Not wood, not metal.
Not wanting to get into an explanation of what plastic was, I asked,
Will it do the job?
Oh, yes, yes,
Millward said, studying the mirror.
I've never seen one with such a perfect surface. This must have been crafted by a supreme master silversmith.
Frankie leaned into me.
Walmart dollar bin, he whispered.
Millward didn't notice, being completely occupied with placing the mirror just so on the ground before him. We were on a pretty steep grade, so he had to position a few stones to level the thing. He cursed.
Frog droppings! Is there no level ground in this land?
That's an interesting phrase, Frankie murmured.
I asked,
So, Millward, where are you from?
He glanced up at me and then shrugged.
I suppose it's no harm to tell you. I'm from the lands just east of the Wool Coast, about a league from the southwestern flanks of Cloudhook. I was journeying to the village of Access to visit my old apprentice, Adam, and his consort, Thaley. She had a baby last year, you know.
Access, Frankie mused. Is that anywhere near the East Bay?
East Bay? Millward asked. There are no bays, east or otherwise, around or even near the mountain. Where have you been that you know nothing of Access and the tale of the lost emperor, Adam?
No, I said, shaking my head. None of that rings a bell. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of San Francisco, California?
Millward shook his head.
How about America? The USA? Land of the free, home of the brave?
I got another no shake.
Maybe you should do that scry, I suggested.
That far too familiar icy trickle of uh-oh was traveling down my spine. Millward nodded.
Perhaps a search of the surroundings may be in order. I will begin at a dozen furlongs out and work my way in.
I did a rapid search of my school days and replied,
That's not much, just a mile and a half. I think we can see that far from here. Is there any way of doing it so you can take in what we can't see? Like the other side of that peak over there?
I pointed to a large mountain off to the east. Millward sniffed.
Picky sort, aren't you? Oh, very well. I'll make the shaping so I'm looking down from a great height. Say, cloud level. Will that suit?
Maybe it's wizards, I thought. Bane showed that same prickly temperament.
Yeah, I said. That should do it. If there's any towns, they should show.
What in the hell was a shaping? Bent over the mirror, Millward hid it from my sight. When he sat back, it was as if I was looking at a small TV set showing one of those travelogues, and the camera was mounted on the nose of a plane. The ground was rushing by so quickly, I couldn't tell what I was looking at. I asked,
Is there any way of pulling back, bringing more of the land to the image?
Millward nodded, and suddenly we were in low orbit.
Whoa! Frankie murmured. It's just like Google Earth. There's a town, I said. Can we zoom in to see if anything looks familiar?
Millward looked at me.
Zoom in?
It means to get a lot closer, Frankie offered. Millward nodded.
Ah, you people have a very odd tongue. Yes, I can get much closer. Observe.
The ground rushed towards us, to the point where I felt a bit of vertigo. And then we were at street level. Cars rolled by, and people were walking the sidewalk, wearing what seemed to be your normal high-elevation Western wear. Something caught my eye, and I asked,
Pull back just a bit, please. I think I saw something.
Yeah, Frankie said. It looked like a sign.
A sign? Millward exclaimed. Inns have signs, and where there's an inn, there's food and drink.
I nodded.
Yep, it usually works that way. Let's see if we can read that thing.
Frankie was the first to make out the words. White lettering on a green background.
Aspen Outfitters. Tony, what are we doing in the wilds of Colorado?
Millward asked. Aspen? What do you mean, Aspen? That's a tree, not a town.
Oh, it's a town, all right, Frankie pouted. And it's about 1,500 miles from my home. Is there any way of showing where we are in relation to that sign?
I didn't like what I was seeing either. If we were at the elevations I thought we were, nighttime would bring with it Arctic level temperatures, even if it was summer. Not a pleasant prospect at all. Millward did something with his hands, and the mirror expanded to where it was about the size of a dining room table. He said, his voice showing some strain,
A point of light should appear. That will be us against the map of the landscape.
We waited, and then the light sparkled. Frankie groaned.
Oh, God. We're smack dab in the middle of Rocky Mountain National Park, and about 100 miles from the closest toilet.
Where No Story Has Gone Before is a short story by Robert Lee Beers that takes characters from two of his book series, The Tony Mandolin Mysteries and The Millward Chronicles, and tosses them into a surreal situation. The Tony Mandolin Mysteries take place in and around today's San Francisco, and in style are a mashup of Nero Wolfe, Harry Dresden, and the Vimes novels of the immortal Sir Terry Pratchett. There are 7 finished novels in the series, an 8th in the works, and several short stories offered for free on Kindle Unlimited. If you go to asmbeers.wixsite.com/Robert Lee Beers, everything is there and more. In addition, Graphic Audio, the Movie in Your Mind audiobook publishing company, has released Tony Mandolin Mystery Books 1 and 2 as all-cast audiobooks, available in CD and download. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the story, I post new ones every Monday and Friday. Or, of course, you could sign up for my weekly mailing list at talltaletv.com, and I'll send them straight to your inbox. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.